about the famous Gandhi. I once hear Gandhi's grandson, Arun Gandhi, share this penetrating insight about his grandfather. All in attendance at his speech were both humbled and electrified. Ironically, if it hadn't been for racism and prejudice, we may not have had a Gandhi. He may have been just another successful lawyer who had made a lot of money. But because of prejudice in South Africa, he was subjected to humiliation within a week of his arrival. He was thrown off a train because of the color of his skin, and it humiliated him so much that he sat on the platform of the station all night, wondering what he could do to gain justice. His first response was one of anger. He was so angry that he wanted eye for eye justice. He wanted to respond violently to the people who humiliated him, but he stopped himself and said, "That's not right." It was not going to get him justice. It might have made him feel good for the moment, but it wasn't going to get him any justice. The second response was to want to go back to India and live among his own people in dignity. He ruled that out also. He said, "You can't run away from problems. You've got to stay and face the problems." And that's when the third response dawned on him, the response of non-violent action. From that point onwards, he developed the philosophy of non-violence and practiced it in his life as well as in his search for justice in South Africa. He ended up staying in that country for 22 years. And then he went and led the movement of India. What you've just listened was written by Stephen R. Covey from the book The Eighth Habit.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
So when we look at this, I find it funny that anyone would imagine Islam advocates in any way violence and hostility and aggression. And those who so-called quote-unquote Muslims that cannot even be considered as Muslims, who go around and execute aggression and violence in the name of Islam and in the name of the Prophet and Mercy, not only are incredibly stupid, but they have very little and poor understanding of the religion of Allah. And they commit massacres and genocides and mass murders based on less than 10 verses in the Quran that tells the Muslim to defend themselves against oppression, against usurp, against aggression, against those who threaten their safety, their security, and their prerogative to practice their religion. There are practically less than 10 verses in the Quran to talk about jihad, defensive jihad, which is really the only form of jihad that exists within the religion. And they tarnish the entirety of Islam. They disgrace Muslims. They ruin the reputation and the name of the Prophet and Mercy across the entire globe based on these handful of verses, while the rest of the Quran and all of the other teachings of Islam talk about peace, talk about tolerance, talk about not retaliating badness and aggression in the same way and form. Idfa' billati hiya ahsan. The same Quran that tells us to pick up a sword and fight for our rights when we're oppressed and we're driven out of our homelands tells us that when the time calls for it, itfa' billati hiya ahsan, retaliate in the best manner, with softness, with compassion, with understanding, with forgiveness. That has been the method of the Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't come telling me that Islam advocates murder. Islam advocates taking the lives of innocent people and civilians, albeit against our religion, albeit disbelievers. Anyone who says that, I'm going to be straight up forward, isn't a Muslim, because they haven't understood not just the essence, but even the apparent message of a religion which is synonymous with peace. That's all the time we have for today's episode of the show. Thank you so very much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi
tatma'innul qulub. Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 4th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special, as you know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Well, dear listeners, if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very important and useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service, to provide a high-quality service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving, these days, of course, an EQSL card from us. So, let me read the names of those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports. Arontio from the Philippines. Arontio from the Philippines is one of our regular listeners who has sent us a reception report. Preeti Singh from India has sent us a reception report. Also, Stefan Krona from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a reception report. So Aron Thio and Preeti Singh, yes, and Stefan Krona, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here I send my appreciations to you for sending us these reception reports. Also, of course, we have received so many emails and letters from around the world, which here I send my appreciations and gratitudes to them. And I read their names. From India, we have an email from KM Raju Club. From Pakistan, we have an email from Abed Hussein Sajed. We have an email from him. Well, from the UK, we have an email from Alan Rowe. And of course, the last but not the least is an email from Japan. This email is from Toshio Shibata Kamata. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters from around the world. So after a short break, I will be back with all these kind emails and letters. Please keep us company. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here I'm back with all your kind emails and letters from around the world. And we start with an email from India. This email is from KM Raju Club. KM Raju from India says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I listen to IRIB English Radio programs quite regularly. All of the programs are useful, like weekly listeners special. All brothers and sisters working at English Radio, all the listeners and everybody, thank you and God bless you. Would it be possible for you to send our club members your frequencies? Thank you once again." And also, thank you, KM Raju from India. We are so happy for your compliments. Thank you very much for reflecting your views about IRIB English Radio, as you describe its programs as useful, like, of course, listeners special. KM Raju, please send our regards and greetings to your club members, KM Raju Club, as you described it. Of course, about regarding your request about sending the frequencies, IRIB English Radio frequencies are available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And my colleagues at IRIB English Radio will soon send you EQSL cards for this letter. Thank you very much, KM Raju, again, for sending us this, of course, email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please, again, tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which programs you like the best. Well, from Pakistan, we have an email from Abed Hussein Sajed. Abed Hussein Sajed from Pakistan is one of our regular listeners, who says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, Assalamu alaikum. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, educational institutions are pending, and that's why we are staying at home most of the time. Therefore, I have not much work to do but listening to the radio and sending reception report to my favorite radio stations. I am also sending you my reception report. Please send me QSL card and other things. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Abed Hussein Sajed from Pakistan, one of our regular listeners. As you said, due to the coronavirus pandemic, educational institutions, schools, universities, and some workplaces are pending, and that's why people stay at home most of the time and do their job online, yes. So we have more time, as you know, because we don't spend time at traffic and in transportation, so we have time to do our hobbies, like listening to, as you said, Your hobby is listening to different radio stations or sending reception reports to your favorite radio stations, and we are so happy that you're there to listen to IRIB English Radio and for sending us a reception report. Thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Abed Hussain Sajid from Pakistan, IRIB English Radio staff are happy that you are our listener, you are our old and regular listener, and we'll send you an EQSL card as soon as possible. Abed Hussain Sajid from Pakistan, again, thank you very much for sending us this email. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with us. Welcome back, and from Japan, as I said, we have an email from Toshio Shibata Kamata. sorry if I mispronounce your name, Toshio Shibata Kamata from Japan, but we send you our regards and greetings from Iran, Toshio, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Toshio from Japan says, "Dear sir or madam at IRIB English Radio, I'd like to report on a medium wave broadcast received here in Japan. As you may know, from the recordings I have enclosed to this email, IRIB broadcast was distorted, and it was distorted by unmodulated carrier from Japanese stations on the same frequency. I will be very happy to receive a QSL card or EQSL which describes reception on 765 kilohertz. I wish the COVID-19 pandemic will come to an end soon. Also wish the new US administration will stop the unreasonable pressures on the Iranian nation. Best regards from Tokyo, Japan." As I said, salam and warmest greetings to you, Toshio Shibata Kamata from Japan, and many thanks for sending us this email, and we are so happy that you could receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your country, in Japan, and in your region. So you have enclosed the recordings to this email. Thank you very much. We received that, and you said it was distorted. Of course, we reflect this view to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio, and we will fix the problem. My colleagues at IRIB English Radio will soon send you an EQSL card. As you may know, we used to send our dear listeners around the world paper QSL cards, but because of the hygienic protocols that was designated after the coronavirus pandemic, we started sending our dear listeners EQSL cards. So we will send it very soon. EQSL card, yes. And also, we, like you, wish the COVID-19 pandemic come to an end very soon. And you mentioned that you wish the new U.S. administration stop the unreasonable pressures on the Iranian nation. Of course, we wish that happens, but the Iranian nation is a nation that always changes the threats and challenges into opportunities. Yes, we have a resistant economy, and we have a successful country, and we are proud of our nation. Yes. Anyway, thank you very much, Toshio Shibata Kamata from Japan, for sending us this email. Write to us soon, yes, and tell us your views about our broadcast. From the UK, as I said, we have an email from Alan Rowe. Alan Rowe says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, or the, as you said, the English section of IRIB Radio, thank you very much for the EQSL. It is very kind of you to take the extra time to send out the QSLs in this way. While it is always very nice to receive one of your lovely real paper QSL cards, I'm nevertheless very happy to receive my QSL as an eQSL. I thank you for continuing to broadcast your programs on the short waves. It is good to be able to listen to your programs in our evenings here in Europe. With greeting from an unusually sunny England. We have had some nice weather for the last week, but I am sure that it will not last and we can expect our traditional rain again very soon. My best wishes from Tennington, UK. Salam and greetings to you, Alan Rowe from the UK, and many thanks for sending us this nice email. Alan Rowe, so you have recently received our EQSL, and as you described, we had the tradition in our radio to send our dear listeners paper QSL cards. I know it's nice. Yes, it's nice. They're nice paper QSL cards. You can't touch it. It's more palpable. But because of the protocols that have been designated and because of coronavirus pandemic, we have to skip. Of course, we have to stick to these new rules, and they are international rules, and avoid what we can touch and because of the virus. And we have started, I think it's for 2 months that we have started sending our dear listeners EQSL cards. After this virus and this disease is over, we get back to the track and send our dear listeners around the world those beautiful paper QSL cards, of course. Anyway, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So in your country that used to rain all the time, it's sunny, and it seems that you like that traditional rain again. And you said you like listening to our Arab English radio programs on shortwave. And this is the traditional way that I think almost everyone around the world likes listening to radio on its traditional way, and it's on shortwave. Yes, I do too. Thank you very much again for sending us this email. Alan Rowe from the UK, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with you. Well, dear listeners, wishing you all the best in the world. Here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com www.rabbi.org/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with Rabbi English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Thumma ansha'na min ba'dihim qurunan.
Then we produced after them other generations.
ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون.
No nation will precede its time of termination, nor will they remain thereafter.
ثم أنشأنا من بعدهم قرونا آخرين ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون. These are the 42nd and 43rd verses of chapter Mu'minun. So, the Almighty Allah's way is raising another generation when the previous one has passed away, as was the case with the previous verses, where the generation of Prophet Salih, the people of Thamud, were destroyed, and they were the ones who were created after the generation of Prophet Noah. So, historical change is under the sovereignty of Almighty Allah. Even every society and nation has a wisely specified term and a defined end. We must not become self-confident when the divine punishment is delayed, because divine programs are not cancelled with the clamor of people, and historical changes are governed by the divine discipline. history has some stable and well-established traditions, and in this noble verse, after the end of the story of people of Thamud, the Holy Quran indicates that other nations were brought forth after those people were destroyed. The Quran says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ قُرُونًا آخَرِينَ. Then after them, we brought forth other generations. It is Almighty Allah's grand rule and way of treatment that He does not terminate His constant outpouring of grace and emanation. And if a group of people becomes a barrier to human perfection, He will cause them to perish, and He will continue to lead this caravan on its way. In the next verse, Almighty Allah implies that each of these various nations and tribes had a fixed time. Nations could neither hasten nor forestall their terms, and whenever the decisive command for their extinction is issued, they will perish, neither sooner or later. مَا تَسْبِقُ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلَهَا وَمَا يَسْتَخِرُ. No nation may outstrip its term, nor do they postpone it.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
we
approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insight into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
The Arabic term ajal means the period and lifetime of an object. It can sometimes mean an end or a termination. For example, we say that the due date of a particular debt is on such and such a day. So this is how we use ajal, the word ajal. We also said before that there are two kinds of ajal or termination. One ajal is unavoidable. This is the kind of fixed date of a person, a thing, or people's extinction, and this cannot be changed. We also have another kind of ajal, which is conditional or pending. This timing or ajal can be increased and decreased as circumstances change. And this verse obviously is referring to the unavoidable kind of ajal, the kind of fixed date. مَا تَسْبِقُ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلَهَا. Every nation has its conditions, has its time, and they cannot increase it, nor can they decrease it. They cannot outstrip their terms, nor can they postpone it. So, under the sovereignty of the Almighty Allah, every nation and society has a specified term and a defined end. So, we must not become self-confident when the divine punishment is delayed. sometimes it may happen for us to see that some nation is going absolutely wrong. They're being led astray, and yet they are not destroyed. We should think about this and have this verse in our minds. مَا تَسْبِقُ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلَهَا وَمَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ. Every nation has its terms, and they cannot outstrip it, nor can they postpone it. We have order of the Almighty Allah in this world, and this order of the Almighty Allah is everywhere. It can be seen in different traditions, that different plans of the Almighty Allah. And what happened throughout the history are based on this order. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic upbringing, where we discuss the issues and topics related to the Islamic upbringing of our children, who are our future and the future of our communities. Now, to help us, we have with us Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Thank you. Okay, so we've talked about the prerequisites, we've talked about some of the methods, and we started talking about things that we'd like to inculcate our children with. We covered respecting other people's ideas of democracy, as you put it, respecting property of others or ownership, and respecting or being good to parents, something that is essential.
Mm-hmm.
It's, as you said, very disappointing that there are children who are not taught to respect their parents, and it's the parents' fault. What is the next thing that we'd like to inculcate our children with?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. One of the important things that we need to teach our children, we need to teach them the concept of mercy, what we call rahmah, because we don't want a child to be hard-hearted, vicious, arrogant, even, God forbid, bloodthirsty, or just have animosity towards people. And this happens if the child is not taught the concept of mercy and rahmah from a young age. So, and we see this problem, and I mention this for a reason, because especially with parents who have siblings, or parents who have children, or children who have siblings, right? Then that sometimes most parents say, well, my child is not very good, doing very well with his brothers or with his sisters, and vice versa. We had this problem with siblings themselves. How should we fix this issue? To fix this issue from the beginning is to make sure that you teach your child the concept of being merciful and have that rahmah. And this is a very easy thing to do, right? So you teach a child, for example, from a young age, you know, as we say, make him feed a cat or a dog, or, you know, be kind to little things. That slowly develops the sense of mercy within him. Or teach him to be kind, for example, to his brother. Teach him to be kind to the elders. Or teach him to be kind to others. And slowly instill this concept of mercy in him that will make him a merciful person as he grows older, and he will learn to play with his brothers and with his siblings in a better way, in a better manner. And obviously, the more merciful he is, when you grow old yourself, you guarantee yourself that your son's not going to throw you in a retirement house, yeah, and then he forgets about you.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot lately. I've spoken to many people who threw their parents in retirement homes because they cannot be well at taking care of them. And that's why, because they don't have mercy in their hearts. That's the reality of it. If you have a mercy in your heart, you will not leave your parents in a retirement home, or you just throw them there. So you teach them from a young age, not only is for their own good, but it also for your own good too, right? For it later on, it will be an advantage for you as well.
Can we go too far in teaching our children mercy so they become lenient, so lenient that they won't protect themselves?
No, there is not such a thing as too much leniency or too much mercy, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arham ar-rahimin, yet he is ashadul mu'aqibin, right? The worst of punishers. So there's always this balance. I mean, you can't, if you teach the child the correct concept of mercy, not to, you know, the Christian to say, if someone slaps you on the right, give him the left. That's not what we're trying to teach our kids. This is not mercy. So, but mercy, we're trying to teach them that you need to be kind, be good towards others.
Considerate of others.
Considerate of others. Not to let others walk all over you and take your rights.
Mm-hmm.
This is not mercy, right? So the concept itself needs to be clear and visible in the mind of the parents themselves before they teach their children what mercy is.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to take a break now, but we'll be back after the break for the next topic that we think we should inculcate our children with. Don't go away.
I am a Muslim, Islam my deen, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, Muhammad Prophet, peace be upon him. I am a Muslim for all of time. Someday, somehow, my journey here will end. I know not when Allah will call me home. This life I live, oh, what a blessed thing. As death comes to me, these words I will sing.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We've talked about the prerequisites to a proper upbringing of our children, methods, and we've talked about things that we'd like to inculcate our children with. What is the next thing that we'd like to inculcate our children with?
All right, so far we've been talking about broad ideas, right? Broad concepts, because this concept pretty much would affect the existence of a child and, you know, how he grows up to be. Now, another concept that we need to teach our children is obviously love. To be people of love, to have love and affection in their hearts. And obviously that itself, when that disappears from the heart of the child, all things go wrong. Like you open the door, as we call, to Pandora's box. When a person love disappears from his heart, it dies out. And then any crime, any sin, it becomes normal to him. He wouldn't care because he doesn't have that love and compassion in his heart. And that reflects, obviously, first and foremost, in the parents themselves. For example, when we look at families, when we see parents themselves, they don't have love towards one another, it becomes so hard to teach it to children, right? So I can't expect my child to be a loving person if I myself don't love my wife or my spouse, right? And he sees me having this hate relationship, then he takes that hate from me and then he spreads it to the world. Mm-hmm. So we need to teach them to love and love one another, obviously through many examples, amongst of which they have to see it through me and my partner, for example.
So to distinguish between love and mercy, mercy is being considerate of others and being careful about them, but love is having an attraction, a passion for others.
No, yeah, having, not just because that love and attraction that you're talking about, obviously that happens at a lot of age, or a teen years age, where a person needs to fall in love with another person. But sometimes with mercy, for example, I need to, for example, give things to other people as a way of help. If, for example, I see a cat, I give her food. That's just being merciful. It doesn't mean I love the cat, or I love, you know, we had the concept of fish love. Shall we talk about it later? So I don't love the fish itself. I love the satisfaction that a fish gives me, right? So I'm not in love with the fish, but I love the satisfaction. So mercy is to give things to others and make sure that others are good. But having love and compassion itself is that you treat everyone in a good manner. Like you have no hate towards other people. So mm-hmm. love, obviously, opposite to hate.
Mm-hmm.
If love disappears, then you have hate. So hate is the absence of love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take our final break of today's program, and we'll be back for more.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
We're back on IRIV English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing with Sayyid Abdullah and Musa. We're talking about concepts that we want to inculcate our children with. So, we talked about mercy. We talked about love, which is the opposite of hate. Mm. What is the next concept?
The next concept we also need to teach our kids that there are things which are harmful for them. And so this is a very broad concept again. So it includes many things. And I say this why? Because I have a lot of parents coming up to me telling me, look, my son has this bad thing he's doing. For example, he's smoking or he's doing drugs. Or, for example, he's addicted to pornography, or he's doing this and that. Harmful things, right? And they want a treatment. It's going to be very hard to treat something that already happened. But from the beginning, you need to teach your kids that there are things that are harmful for them, and you need to talk about these harmful things. For example, many parents, they say, well, if I talk to my child about the effects of smoking, he might go and smokes. No, who says that? So they are afraid of introducing their kids to something that, no, and on the contrary, if you have the right methods to teach your child that, for example, smoking is bad, and you show him pictures and videos and stuff like that, and you educate him correctly, because until now he doesn't know what nicotine is. He hasn't smoked nicotine. So his system is clear. So you program his mind that this something is bad, right? Then he will not smoke when he grows old. One of the best methods to quit smoking. I've read a book recently to quit smoking, and what it does, it reprograms your brain. As you read the book, the writer, he wrote the book very smartly, very eloquently, that he is actually manipulating your mind as you read, but you don't notice. So subconsciously, he's working on you. By the time you finish reading the book, you'll feel disgusted from smoking. Right?
That's smart.
That's very smart. And now they even have clinics now, these people. He opened clinics all over the world. And well, he says, in 1 hour, I make you quit smoking. No nicotine patches, no nothing. Just reprogramming your brain. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we bring our kids and we teach them that this thing is bad, and not just say, don't do it. If you say, don't smoke, I guarantee he will go smoke. If you say, do not watch this, I guarantee he will go watch it. Don't listen to music, I guarantee he will go listen to music. But rather explain to them what they are, why they are bad, and what is the effect of them in this world and in the hereafter. So he's equipped logically in his mind. He's very equipped that when he sees it in front of him, he will back off.
It seems very central when we're trying to prevent our children from doing wrong things, that they must feel that they are respected, that they are not forced into anything.
Well, that's the golden rule. And inshallah, we'll talk about this concept a lot later on.
Mm-hmm.
That always anything that's forceful is not going to work. But when you give him an option, when you speak to him, he feels he is a part of this whole conversation. He feels that he has an existence.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to talk to him and educate him and tell him this is good, this is bad, he feels that he has an identity that he can, that he looks up to and he can see.
It's kind of like
overridden.
Kind of like reverse psychology. They are placed in a position where, if they want to be respected to themselves, they have to make the right decision. For instance, not smoking.
Of course.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. But if you miss the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply visit parstoday.com. That's parstoday.com. Find the Call of Islam link and you will see us right there. Islamic upbringing. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. And also you can communicate with us directly through our social media accounts. Search at Call of Islam Radio on Instagram, Telegram, YouTube, and Twitter. Until next episode, happy parenting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned, perfect with no flaws at all, are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The light.
People around the world have their unique ways of celebrating events. In Nepal, farmers and locals celebrate National Paddy Day by jumping into muddy fields. The festival marks the start of the annual rice planting season. People joyfully sing and play in muddy water. Another popular tradition on this day is eating a mixture of curd and beaten rice with friends and family. The fun event usually draws many tourists from around the world. However, this year, it is limited only to locals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rice is the most important crop in Nepal and accounts for almost half of the cereal production in the country. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest. Because the forest is their true home, where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
Science fiction has turned into reality, or at least that's how the developer of Aircar describes his vehicle when it transforms from a car into an aircraft in less than 3 minutes. This prototype flying car was designed and created by Slovakian transportation professor Stefan Klein. He says that his design opens a new category in transportation. The dual-mode vehicle composed a 35-minute flight in this week between the two Slovakian airports. So far, it has completed more than 40 hours of test flight. Aircar can fly about 1,000 kilometers at a height of over 2,500 meters. That makes the dream of those who wish to ride above traffic closer to reality. A digital art museum in the Japanese capital has unveiled a stunning exhibition offering visitors an intimate interaction with nature. One of the attractions of the show is Floating Flower Garden, which is a mirrored room filled with 13,000 orchid flowers. The orchids are dangling from the ceiling and move up once a visitor walks through in the space and approaches the flowers. Once the visitors move past, the flowers descend again. This makes the visitors able to freely wander around the three-dimensional flower mass space. Tokyo-based digital art group Team Lab that runs this exhibition says the artwork is designed to help people think that they are part of the garden.
This is an installation filled with these flowers. As you walk towards them, the flowers slowly move up to create an area of space for you. Surrounded so completely by flowers, you feel immersed in the flowers, the garden itself.
There are several other installations in this exhibition. One is an outdoor piece filled with Ovid sculptures that light up after the sun sets. Visitors can see 61 different colors of light in this section. When one of the Ovids tipped over by a hand or the wind, it emits a sound. The sound is then echoed by the surrounding Ovids. In a school in the Ukrainian capital, kids learn about saving the environment and helping those in need through a creative way. Students put plastic bottles in a machine as currency. Then they can select what they would like to spend money on. buying food for stray animals and donating to children with special needs are some of the choices. The project was first launched in a mall in Kiev a few months ago. Afterwards, the designers found out that children were the most frequent users of this machine.
A child drops a bottle inside and sees an